You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Lisa Hale. You got to check in that show. Todd, I think that's one of the best local radio shows you could ever find in regards to all the different things they cover.
But we do try to work really hard on covering interest stories in Northeast Wisconsin.
Fantastic. So, she does such a great job.
Terry Barr is part of that, so big thanks to her. And
Steve Jones, former head football coach at Kimberly, now works with the Green Bay Packers, among other entities. And he's got that leadership workshop coming up again, coming up May 14th. Jim, what is the date on, or the time and date and place? Buboldt's Nature Center.
Right, in Appleton. And that's coming up on, like you said, May 14th.
$99.
And if you register within the next week, it's you
can bring in two other friends. People. So it's like $30 a piece for a great leadership course.
Well, like 33, but yeah, that's very close.
Fantastic. Close to $30. Speaking of fantastic, the things that people do at Bell and Sports Medicine, Dr. Ryan Burns, I literally was a little bit nervous when I saw him. I was afraid that somebody there said, tell Mino to bring that damn boot back. But he says, no, I get to keep it. Right, Doc?
I think that's yours.
I'm, you know, sometimes you go to a place and we have advertisers or whatever, but and we try to go to all of them or whatever. And I walked away from your place, or limped away from your place, just so impressed with how you deal with people and how it's you know, normally you go to a doctor's office, there's that weird kind of nervous feeling, everybody's, and it's the complete opposite at your place. It's like so wide open and so friendly and so whatever. There's not that intimidation. What is it, the white coat syndrome? There isn't any of that.
You know what I get a kick out of is Doogie Howser. You know, and I'm sure you hear that. You guys are younger and younger and younger. And I think that's
wonderful.
Great. And smarter and smarter and smarter too. I mean, you're schooling and you went to school right here.
Yeah, that's right. I did my medical school here at MCW Green Bay in town and was really honored to be a part of that first inaugural class of that campus. So yeah, I mean, we get a good training, and we talked a little bit last time,
absolutely.
About some of the younger physicians and surgeons, and part of just the new era of taking great care of patients here in Green Bay. But
the cool thing is, you're not that far removed from being that athlete in high school or college.
Absolutely, right. So being that athlete, I think a lot of us have had experiences getting injured, seeing, you know, friends or teammates get injured, and, you know, like you said, We want to be very welcoming, create a great experience there for the athletes and the families. We try to do everything really efficiently and, you know, really taking great care of those athletes for sure.
And a plug for the investment you've made in the equipment too. I mean, I've toured your place out there. I mean, you guys didn't cut any corners.
You're talking about like upstairs. Yeah. So the training.
But the MRI equipment, everything.
Yeah. Just
yes.
Yeah. I mean, everything there is done top notch. They did a great job kind of researching the top of the line kind of equipment for rehabilitation. So, yeah, rehab upstairs. There's a turf field, rehab facility. We have great therapists and, you know, strength and conditioning coaches that work very hard to get the athletes back as quickly and safely as possible. And diagnostics is top notch. I mean, yeah, you're mentioning the MRI machines, but really we can do some really special things there. And it's very special to be a part of. So, it's fantastic.
So with this draft coming up, will you be doing some, advertising is not the right word, but some tours showing off your facility?
Well, the clinic officially will be closed for part of that week, so we are out of that facility. But, Bellin is one of the kind of partner sponsors there of the draft here in Green Bay, so we're going to be doing some special things. Part of that is kind of being the medical providers and medical coverage for the event, for the draft, for, you know, for the participants that are coming to see the draft and for, you know, backstage, things like that.
Right.
So there's a lot of medical tents set up that Bellin will help man and cover. And then the Green Bay Fire Department is going to be kind of the on-call specialty there too for us. So, yeah, it should be a good time. And that's right around the corner here.
Right. It is, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. And then if the numbers hold true, that's what, size of three games, right?
Yeah, I mean,
at once.
Yeah, I think what was the in Detroit? It was a couple hundred thousand.
Like almost three.
Yeah, so that is probably triple a game day. And, so crowd management, parking, those, all sorts of things come into play. I think once people get into the event venue, it's going to be impressive and a great time. So I think it will go off without a hitch, but I think it's going to be a good time.
One thing about you guys, so I don't want people to get the wrong, you don't have to be an athlete that got injured playing a sport to come to your guy. I mean, anybody, I don't care what your problems are. I just want to make sure it's not some guy who, gets hurt on his construction job site. Well, you got to be an athlete to go there. Not the case at all.
Not the case. That's a good point. Any musculoskeletal condition, we see people from, honestly, like 6 months, 1 year, little kids getting injured to 90-year-olds, we do see the full spectrum there of athlete or, ages and athletes injuries.
But I will say
like
this, though. You kind of treat people. I just when other people are around, when I was getting examined for my Achilles or whatever, it's like you almost like treat them like an athlete in the way that you're not like a doctor of whatever. You're like, okay, this is your job or this is what you do. How do we get you back to that? That's the part that I was hearing that was really cool.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's plays into the way that we treat, people and, our patients. And I think there's a great attention to detail of getting people back to what they want to do, what they love, their jobs and things that, they love. So, I think that is a good point.
So we have Mark on here once in a while, and I know quite a few people that work at Bellin. Tell me about your career path, people who are listening that. I mean, you seem like really happy with your job, and we're so glad you stayed in this community. I mean, I'm sure you have opportunities pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, so I guess just a little bit about my training and career path there. Like I said, I did my medical school. My undergraduate was also here in state. I was at UW-Madison.
Okay, is this a true or false story? Because you went to school with his daughter.
That's correct.
And he was saying that you cheated off her in tests. Is that true? Yes or no?
We didn't share time for test taking. I was in my clinical years by the time that she was there. But
thanks, John.
So yeah, medical school was here, MCW Green Bay, and then I did my residency and fellowship down in South Bend, Indiana. So family medicine trained, Memorial Hospital there, and then I stayed in town for the Notre Dame Sports Medicine Fellowship. Really enjoyed that experience, really immersed into the sports medicine culture. And then, had a couple connections and great opportunities to come back here into town. Lots of folks here know Dr. Jim Ebbin. He's a great mentor and a true friend. That was kind of the biggest thing that drew me back into town was actually Bellin, the great things that they do, the relationships that they have, the history they have here in town. So, I was really, really happy and honored to come back here in town. I've been here for, going on now 3 years, so it's been fantastic.
When you were in high school, when you were 14, 15, we all decided what we're going to do kind of in our minds. Is this what you had in your mind?
Or was that in your parents' mind?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if you ask my parents, like when I was a kid, I probably would have been a veterinarian. I love animals, love taking, so I had an interest in medicine, just taking care of people. My mom's a CAT scan x-ray tech, so I was exposed to the field in general of medicine. I think we talked a little bit last time. I actually never had a significant injury. I kind of was just exposed to the field or just exposed to the idea of it. I kind of, even through med school, I spent some time with Dr. Ebbin, so I was a little bit more exposed to that. I don't know that I could say like in high school or middle school that I knew that I was going to be doing this. But I think, as I went through undergrad and med school, it became clear that I liked this field of sports medicine for a lot of the reasons we talked about, getting people back, keeping people healthy and active. So
I would have used that in high school just for the girls.
Everyone's
by the way, I'm
going to
be a doctor,
right,
just so you know.
Cool. Who you
did? Did you ever use that?
No, I think you crystallize your career path probably more in undergrad. I think some people go solely to undergrad for what they want to do, but I think a lot of people don't know. And I went to Madison to get a great education.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of crystallize your career path from there.
MCW, one of their goals is to retain talent here. And that's not their top goal. Obviously, their top goal is to get you guys in out of medical school and become doctors. But I'm glad that's working. And it doesn't work for everyone, but, it worked for you.
That is a great point. I think they do a good job of recruiting local local students. So I think it has worked out for them very well. You know, we actually was just there on campus for an event last week, and we were looking at the graduation years, and we could point out multiple people that are still here and in town and practicing and successful. So, you know, I think their model has worked very well in getting, you know, young, great physicians back here in town and hopefully here for a very long time.
Okay. What's your hardest class?
Med school?
Yeah.
These guys don't have hard classes. They're so smart. Isn't the hardest class getting in?
Yeah, I mean, there's challenges to getting in anywhere for any school, for, you know, whether it's med school, dental school, any, you know, professional schools. College is challenging. But thinking about med school, I guess I would say physiology is challenging. Anatomy is challenging in ways because, I mean, you're doing some dissections in anatomy and learning everything very quickly. I like the anatomy. The physiology is a little challenging because it's a little bit more scientific, and there's just a lot that goes into the physiology that was a little challenging, at least at first. But that jumps out. Pharmacology is always a little challenging.
About
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a hard time with any of them.
They don't.
I just remember like nine of them. You know what I mean? Advanced general math was hard.
No, I just remember going as a parent, and they just, and Hunziker did say, he goes, the hard part's over. You know, you're here. And now our job is to get you, you know, graduated. So, but they're all, every class is hard. You know, that's why we never got
in. Can I ask this question? What is kinesiology? Because there was a basketball team when I was doing Green Bay basketball.
That's when you sneeze, isn't it?
UIC. Bless you. UIC, every guy on their team, it said their major was kinesiology. What is kinesiology?
That, so kinesiology, I think, is essentially the study of human movement. You know, okay. So kinesiology, that's actually funny you mentioned that, because my major in undergrad was actually biology.
Okay.
And I think if I could go back, I would actually have done kinesiology.
Okay.
A little bit more about movement, exercise, general kind of science in that way. It's a very common field.
We're the guy yesterday whose major in college was biology as well, and he makes great beer. So
that takes science.
that's what he ended up doing. So it's
he's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. So what are your plans? I mean, you're a young guy. You
could write your own ticket, couldn't you? I mean, anywhere in the country, especially, you know, having worked here. Because everybody's going to look at Green Bay. Oh, did you work for the Packers? Yada, yada, yada. I mean, you could write your own ticket right now, couldn't
and
you?
And sports is pretty good field.
Yeah, I mean, I have no interest or intention of ever leaving here. I love Ballin. I love Green Bay. I love taking care of our high school athletes. So, I mean, plans in general in the next 5 years or so is just taking great care of those athletes, being here as a resource for the community, and keeping Ballin on top.
When you said taking care of great athletes in the area,
you're one of them.
Thank you. Stick around, Doc.
I knew it.
Dr. Ryan, you did
back.
Not, Todd.
I knew it.
Why is the floor wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
Dr. Ryan Burns, Ballin Sports Medicine, back with more right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Man, I'll tell you what. We are talking all fun stuff for the next hour and a half. I mean, we've been talking really fun stuff, but it's going to take it to a different level. We got Todd Magnuson here, Rock and Roll Land, National Record Store Day, which is why, do you know what this is, Doctor?
This is a turntable.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for knowing that.
Medical school.
I got one at home.
Do you really?
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you. You're wearing the coolest kicks of anybody that comes in here.
Just some Jordans.
Tell me about what you guys got going.
Jordan 11. So it's a fun kind of semi-tradition that we have at Titletown with my team. We wear Jordans on Fridays, so we call it Fry J's.
Nice. We're Dr. Ryan Burns, Bell and Sports Medicine. We mentioned we got Todd Magnuson coming in, and the man, the legend, Spencer Nolan Young, the greatest artist in America, just walked in, and over the next hour and a half, basically, he is going to paint a couple of things in honor of the NFL draft and in honor of the Packers history. He's going to paint a couple of things live for us right here in the studio, and it will be shocking as far as what you're going to see. And just got a text here, Ryan for mayor from Torrey.
Where do you live, Ryan? Jim, you live in the city?
Yeah, De Pere.
And that's not
I voted for Jim every time. 16 years as mayor. I hosted his reelection campaign and stuff like
that's
that.
That's true.
I voted for him every year. And he knew I was lying every year because I didn't know that where I lived in De Pere, we couldn't vote in Green Bay.
That's awesome. It's
true.
But he did host events, which is great. Hey, the draft's coming and we're going to have, you know, a lot of people here. You do a lot at the Bellin Sports Medicine Place. You work with the athletes in our community. Any concerns with that number of people or anything you need to keep your eye on? Any advice you have for all the fans that are coming as a doctor?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to any game day, of course, if you're coming, come early. Don't want to fight crowds if you don't have to.
I don't think it's going to be that kind of a crowd. If Detroit only had like one arrest in 3 days, I don't think it's the normal Packer Vikings game type of crowd. Do you?
No, I mean, that's a good point. I think people are coming to enjoy the event, to enjoy the facilities. There's things within the venue that are going to be really, you know, cool and
right.
Special. You know, Titletown is itself, the district is going to put on several events there throughout the whole experience. So, that's a good point. I think, you know, people are coming from out of town to just enjoy the event. Crazy as a game day,
right.
I guess, but
It's not as intense, right?
Yeah.
It's the draft.
It's a draft.
I mean, it's like tall ships. Let's come and enjoy the city and see what it's all about. I would agree. I'm really looking forward to, you know, I think it's going to be a great opportunity for the city to show it off a little bit in Lambeau Field. It just doesn't seem like it's going to be this 250 number because this morning, you know, I was reading the paper and
still hotel rooms available.
But still, I think it's going
to
be great.
Well, you know,
one thing
I read though that made sense though, people are really waiting to see how the weather is going to be.
That is true.
I think people are intimidated by potential Green Bay weather if you're not from here.
That'll be okay. Bring your parka, bring your rain jacket,
absolutely.
Bring your shorts. We might have all three in one day.
We could have all three in one day. That one girl we had on coming from Appleton last week, she said, "This is weird. I just experienced three separate serious weather patterns in the drive. It was snowing when I left, then it was sleeting, and now it's raining."
Yeah. No, I think the weather will be good. But
one quick thing, though. When you guys deal with these young athletes, okay, and we're talking with Steve Jones, who was a legendary coach at Kimberly, you guys have become such a big part of those programs. I mean, when I was in high school, you'd have an assistant coach that knew how to tape ankles or whatever, and that was the extent of it. Wow, have you guys taken that to a different level, huh?
Absolutely. So it really has grown, you know, involvement. And now we all know and hear a little bit more about the great professionals, athletic trainers that are out at the schools. They're kind of our eyes and ears out at the schools and can take great care of the athletes, coaches. A lot of times they're there for the community, teachers and things like that as well as a first set of eyes on anything. So they're great professionals and partners. They do a lot, and sometimes it's unseen and unheard, but they're doing a great job taking care of these kids and people in the community. Something that, you know, a lot of our schools, we also have like strength and conditioning professionals or coaches. So it is kind of a whole team out there at the schools, which is, I guess, probably over the last 10, 15 years becoming the norm, but still growing.
Let me ask you, Dr. Ryan, Bellin Sports. Jordy Nelson, who's going to be here this week, or next week, I should say, doesn't want his kids playing contact football at a younger age. Concussions. And I don't know if you have kids. He wants them to play, you know, flag football, you know, learn the drills.
And even with that, they wear those cushion kind of helmets now, right?
Any thoughts on that?
You're just talking about, like, kids playing
contact
at young ages?
Right. Like, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times it's actually, you know, if they're smaller, you know, I think sometimes at those young ages, there can be great disparities in sizes and abilities. Yeah. So I think if it's done safely at a young age, it's reasonable. You know, they're wearing the appropriate protective devices. Some parents or, you know, even athletes just decide that it's not right for them at the young ages. You know, I think, you know, tackle football programs are done well here in Northeast Wisconsin and across the country, kind of in that middle school, seventh, eighth, leading up to high school. So, I mean, I think a lot of times we think about concussions, we think about the big bad injuries or you know, things that take a long time to recover. I think, you know, concussions is one of the aspects. There are a lot of other injuries that come with, you know, any sport, you know, basketball, you know, lots of kind of ACL
injuries. We had a young lady in here about a month or so ago. Said, how's it going with your daughter in volleyball? Well, we're just at a tournament and she was going for a loose ball and fell and smashed or knocked out all of her front teeth. Yeah. So, I mean, injuries will happen.
Injuries will happen, yeah. So I think parents, you know, we generally try and I have kids, so, you know, and three girls, but so they're not necessarily probably going to play contact football. But I think a lot of parents, you know, have concerns. But I think done safely, reasonable, good coaches, good programs.
That's the key, the good coaches.
Yeah, I mean,
it can't be the old school of line up and just smack your heads against the other person.
Yeah, our drills and understandings about kind of what's best for the kids is has changed. So I do think a lot of programs and coaches do it very, very well and at a high level. So personally, I don't have necessarily concerns about it. I think, you know, if it's done well, done safely, it can be a great thing for kids. Right. And you know, obviously football is huge here up in Northeast.
I got to ask this question. We're running short here, but a couple of things. When I was a kid, Little League, you weren't allowed to throw a curveball because they said it would hurt your arm. And the other thing was don't lift weights until you're like 17. Those are out the window now, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I think those are, you know, pitch counts are important for the young athletes. I think lifting very heavy weights, you can set up for kind of like apophysitis or growth plate type injuries.
Yes.
I think the original concern was like growth arrest, and I think that's been just debunked.
No, it's not. That happened to me. That's why my legs are so short, because of my growth plates, because I used to do squats when I was like 11. You could use me as a test book type thing if you want me to come in a test case. Would you want to do that?
Sure.
Okay. Nice. All right.
Look at the mental side too.
Bell and Sports Medicine. Mark Houston is sleeping in today. Couldn't get up. I don't know what's going on with him. But man, you do a great job filling in.
Thanks,
Happy
Dr. Ryan.
Here.
And cooler shoes. Tell Mark to get some cool shoes.
We will.
All right. Thanks.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. UWA Local 291 has been on strike at the Cummings plant in Oshkosh for 4 weeks. On Saturday, union leaders will hold a rally at 1118 High Avenue in Oshkosh from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Union officials, national union supporters, and area leaders, such as Winnebago County Executive-elect Gordon Hintz, will be on hand for speeches and to provide support. The workers are striking because their contract at Cummings expired on January 29th. But they say the company is dragging its feet to extend or renegotiate the contract, leaving the 90 workers in limbo. For Severe Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin, meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us the best place to take cover in any situation.
When the sirens go off or an emergency alert pops up on your phone, telling you to take shelter from a tornado warning, do you know where to go? Seek out the lowest level, like a basement or ground floor. Then, pick a spot that's got plenty of walls between you and the outside. Maybe a closet, a bathroom, or under the stairs. Most tornadoes tend to be weak. They'll rip through the upper levels and tear down exterior walls as the roof blows off. Flying debris then becomes missiles, so you'll want to get under something or cover yourself with a couch cushion. Anything. Get low and cover your head. And if you're driving, pull over and go inside the nearest building for shelter. Don't stay in your car or go under an overpass. You're actually safer getting into a ditch or a ravine.
Oshkosh Craft Beer Week continues through Sunday. Take the weekend to grab the newest collaboration between Bare Bones Brewery, Fifth Ward Brewing Company, and the Fox River Brewing Company. It's a blueberry lime sour. The citywide collaborative beer is on tap at establishments throughout Oshkosh and can also be purchased in cans as well. This is the fourth year the three breweries have teamed up to create a collaborative brew for Oshkosh Craft Beer Week. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Fun day. Dr. Ryan Burns, Bell and Sports Medicine. Wow, he's fantastic. And again, you don't have to be an athlete. I mean, whatever, however you get hurt, go to Bell and Sports Medicine. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. Although it's kind of funny. I mean, he's young, hip, and the whole thing, mm-hmm. and he's wearing the cool Jordans. So Mark Hewson's like, I take part in that cool shoe Friday, too, and he sent me a pair.
Yeah,
can you describe him?
Yeah.
He sent you a picture?
A picture of what he's wearing today. Yeah. So what's like a hip pair of shoes? Mark's like, hey, come on. I'm hip, too. He sends us, just, you know, took a picture of his shoes. Yeah. Brown wingtips. And they're kind of...
These are my cool shoes for Friday.
And they need to be shined, too. They're just like brown worn wingtips. So
Dr. Burns... This,
not even close.
...wants to have Spencer, you know, do the way he does for NFL players. Cool, unbelievable cool cleats. And I think Mark wants his wingtips painted as well. Can you handle that one, Spencer?
They need to be painted. I'm going to be busy, probably. Yeah, okay, so.
Yeah, folks, we got to just tell you what's going on here in the studio. We got Todd Magnuson, Rock and Roll Land, National Record Store Day. We've got a turntable in front of us. But we also have this artist behind us here, Spencer Nolan Young. Everybody knows him at this point. He's worldwide, world famous. But what he's doing for us in here today, he's painting two original works of art to commemorate or to honor the NFL draft coming up. But here's the deal, folks. And then they're going to be for sale. We're going to sell these. Part of it's going to your organization.
New Community Shelter.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And the other one is going to our veterans' homes that we're building in Green Bay. They're being built in Green Bay. So we're going to sell them both. All right. But here's the deal, folks. He forgot his brushes.
Can you believe this?
So you know what he's going to paint them with? A football. He's painting these unbelievable pieces of art with a football. Spencer?
Yeah, also one of the football cleats that I had in my studio. Right. So yeah.
He's painting with a football and a cleat.
Yeah, I'll use every part of the football, every part of the football cleat, and hopefully we have an amazing piece of artwork.
No brushes.
So
it's amazing.
Wow.
And by the time the show's over, the paintings are going to be done, right?
That's the plan.
Unbelievable. We're going to keep watching, folks. It's going to be a live stream type thing. You can watch this create.
Yeah, okay. Do it. You can get online at Mino and the Mayor on Facebook, WGBW or WISS on Facebook. You can watch the whole thing. We'll have Spencer working in the background while we're doing the rest of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys, Spencer, thanks for doing this.
You're the man, Spencer. I can't wait.
It's going for a good cause. I'm all for it. Right.
Excuse me. We got somebody on the line that has a complaint or something. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Okay.
Let's just remember that Spencer, if he wants to decorate my shoes, I'm all for it. The man's a brilliant man.
Well, and
but let's also remember, those shoes that I just took a picture of, they're about 4 hours old because that's all I had them on yesterday. So those are nice, clean.
I'm going to show them.
Wingtip shoes.
Well, I've never heard Spencer back down from a challenge before now. All I heard was, ooh.
4 hours. I mean, they're doable for sure.
Let's also say, guys, that Dr. Ryan Burns was awesome to replace me this morning, although I couldn't sleep in because I'm supposed to be at a breakfast here in about 5 minutes down in our state convention. But thank you guys for everything.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't have a pair of Jordans any longer. They do a great job, though.
Well, wingtips are awesome. We're just giving you a hard
time. Yeah, they're awesome. Mel Torme wore them all the time.
But not brown.
Yeah, not brown. No, nobody wears brown. Hey, Mark Hewson, thanks for sending over such great young doctors to our way.
Yeah, he's impressive, boy.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, we're very appreciative of everything you guys have done and just getting the word out to the community. I think that's what's awesome about when you guys came on from day one to now and the continued in the future. It's an awesome just what you guys have done for not even just Green Bay, but like you said, I'm down in Oshkosh right now, Appleton, Marinette. You guys just take Northeast Wisconsin to a new level, so thank you.
Did you hear what happened to me yesterday? Mark?
No.
I had to go to my doctor's in Two Rivers for my regular thing, okay? Go over my results from blood work, yada, 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 yada. So I've got the boot on that I got from you guys, okay? And I get it wedged between the brake and the gas pedal as I'm going down 43, okay? Then I take 310, the back road. I'm thinking, okay, this will be better. So I can't take my foot off the gas, and it's going like 75. And I'm not even joking about this, okay? So when I finally got into the parking lot at the hospital and I wedged my foot out, I stepped out, and all I could smell was burnt brake fluid. So I may have burnt out my brakes driving down because I didn't take the boot off when I drove.
Only John Minel.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, and that
only
could happen.
John Minel. Okay.
So many other options.
Right.
But
Mark Hewson, you're the best, and I guarantee you Spencer could make make your wing tips look good for next week, so you got some cred.
I think Spencer could do anything with any pair of shoes.
That's no lie.
What I've been told.
But you're saying it's a lot easier with those wingtips you're wearing.
I think he should do it. I think he should show up next Friday at their thing and wear those. Mark Houston, right, you're the best. Bell and Sports Medicine, thanks for everything you do, my brother.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week. Okay, buddy. And we're at Todd Magnuson, Rock and Roll Land, National Record Store Day.
Morning.
Buddy. No, I'm not even joking about this. This morning, we were kind of screwing around a little bit, and I put that magic when you're waiting for that song to come out, and you're waiting, it's magical.
Yeah, it's the connection.
It's connection.
It's connecting to the music for sure. Yeah. You're making it happen.
Awesome, man. Love it. Yeah. I mean, this just brings back so many great memories. You know, Jim and I were talking about, you know, old records that you got in the closet or in the basement or whatever, and, you know, you sell them for 50 cents maybe, and then somebody will see one that you think is, you know, whatever.
Not even worth
really,
that.
A Kingston Trio. And so we're like, and it'll be like worthwhile. What are some of the determining factors? Because you kind of got to be a really serious into that to understand what's good and what's not, regard price-wise,
you know,
right?
At this point now, I can look at a collection and know condition, obviously, is everything. You know,
when you say condition, you mean the cover or the actual album?
Both. You know, the record's got to be playable. I can live with some condition of the cover.
Okay.
As long as it's not too destroyed or water damaged. Yeah. But if it's got ring wear and a little split here and there, as long as the record's playable, it could be a player copy versus a collectible copy.
Got it.
You know, so the condition could swing, you know, $5 to $20 as far as a resale value. You know, if it has little feelers on it, little scratches, you know, there's potential to skip. Surface marks sometimes are okay as long as, you know, sometimes that's just from going in and out of the sleeve. But, and, you know, it's really condition is, especially when it's used, you know, condition is everything.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to, somebody's collecting Beatles records, they don't want old beat up Beatles records, you know. Maybe a young kid that's just getting into it wants that $5 player copy of a Beatles record that has... Yeah. You know, Lucy's name written all over it or something. You know, and they put little beards on the Beatles. And, but, you know, that kind of thing is kind of funny sometimes. And people write their names, obviously, on records back in the day. But that really is, you know, goes from a pristine copy to a player copy.
So I was going to bring some of my wife's in, but she's got on the Bobby Sherman ones and some of the, I love you. Does that take down the
head? Oh, yeah, little hearts. Sometimes I think that's great.
Or Sean Cassidy. I'm sorry, I think it was Sean Cassidy.
It's part of the story of that record.
Right.
And I think it's fun sometimes I've found love letters in records and somebody wrote out all the lyrics to a song in a record. You find ticket stubs.
Oh, that's
you find
cool.
other little... accessories
that's
and records.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. I keep that stuff intact with
collections.
Yeah, I was telling you before we went on, and I seem to see your store more often in the media, whether it's online or in these city pages or, you know, and I don't know if it's because I know you more now or if I just notice it more now, but
I think every year it's been growing and growing.
Right.
And ever since we moved into the bigger location, I see new faces every day. You know, somebody's like, how long have you been here? And I said, we've been in business almost 14 years, but at the new store, a little over two, this will be our third record store day at the new location. And it's as many as regulars we have, we're getting new people constantly. Like,
we're at Todd Magnuson Rock and Roll Land National Record Store Day located on Military.
Like this young doctor that was just here.
Right.
He's like, you know. Where are you located? And this guy has a turntable. Yeah. I just think.
So I suspect I'll see him at some point.
Absolutely.
I'll
I think
come
you
rolling
will.
In.
And I think that's like and really cool.
I see that constantly. So, and then I'm a good, like my social media presence is there. We try to do engaging posts and try to do positive things and try to do sales and just do fun things, you know, and.
What would you like? Okay, you've seen everybody bring in, so everybody thinks together. What gets you excited when somebody says, "Hey, I've got these old albums. They're my uncle's, and he, you know, moved to the assisted living. And are these worth anything?" What do you see where you still get excited?
I get excited. Honestly, I get excited about every collection that comes in.
Okay.
Sometimes I have to be the bad news and say this is just not what I can use.
Right.
You know, and I'm pleasant and nice about it. You know, I don't want to just say, hey, this is garbage.
Right, but, right.
You know, sometimes I'll try to explain the difference between because sometimes they say, oh, I looked on eBay, and but they don't really know what they're looking at versus I said, well, this is the difference, you know. So, and I'm always fair with my offers. And sometimes, you know, 99% of the time people take my offer because it's stuff I need and I can sell it. And they, you know, it's a lot of work to try to list 100 records online and it could take 6 months to sell.
Got a nice texter. I just started my vinyl collection again. Thanks to Todd and his store. I love the used album bin, especially on a retirement income. Terry.
Nice.
We should do like that TV thing where they come in and, you know, they kind of watch him barter with the guy because people bring in, I'm sure people bring in some stuff that is a real fine find as well.
Well, then, you know, there's guys too now that are getting, you know, there's an older guy that comes down from like Ripon area and, you know, he says, I got like 10,000 records. So he brings me like 300 to 400 records every couple months. And he's like, oh, I just want like $3 a record. But I'm like, you got way better stuff. You know, I can give you more than that because there's records that, you know, he has $100 records in his collection, you know. But he's like,
what would be, if I can just ask you, what would be like what we would consider a common album that would have it? Because, you know, it's like, okay, the Beatles only released, you know, 500 of these and those obviously because it's scarcity. But what would be something where even though we might have had in our collection that it's like, okay, this one stands out?
Something common that stands out. I mean, obviously, still the Beatles. Bob Dylan has gotten huge right now. So everybody, you know, people have those kind of records. But then you're looking at every collection around.
All right. We got to send her a quick break. When we come back, you're going to be the DJ. You're going to play the turntable, Stylus, and you got to hit the post. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right.
We're going to find out.
Very confident.
Yeah.
Todd Magnuson, Spencer is in progress. This could be fun, man. Tune in, watch him paint. Look at Curly Lambeau coming to life. Look at Curly Lambeau coming to life. Incredible. Spencer Nolan Young, unbelievable. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a good-looking Friday morning. 33 in Green Bay, 34 in Appleton, 30 in Oshkosh. Sunny and high in the mid-50s today. Thank you.
Finally.
Thank you. Thank you. Milwaukee Brewers at Arizona Diamondbacks tonight on WISS. That's at 8:05. Got some great text coming in here. We've got our man Todd Magnuson, Rock and Roll Land. He's going to be sticking with us through our musical guest, which is coming up down the road. So, and we've got Spencer Nolan Young here painting live. I got some text here. Wow, I can't paint that good with a paintbrush, let alone a football. Another one, thank you for supporting the arts. Another one, working at the transfer station, records were the biggest find of people throwing things away. I've got many, many milk crates of records. Oh, Todd?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm getting some new people that literally threw their records away.
Right.
And in the 90s, you know, everybody was like, they're taking up space. CDs was the thing. And they literally threw their records away. And now they're buying records back.
And I was telling John that we're one of those people that you know, we get married and you had these crates of records and people would come to, if you're going to sell them, the rummage sale, and they would go through them so
fast. Has there ever been anything not designed for that purpose but work better than milk crates with albums?
Milk crates, still.
It's perfect. Still,
yeah.
Yeah.
But boy, they knew what they were looking for.
I still have stacks of milk crates that we took from the dairy, you know.
Right.
And now, and then the milk companies kind of redesigned the milk crates so people would stop stealing them. So they don't quite fit records.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah. Some of the old ones. Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Anyway, there was so many people that did that. And, and you know, you look back and think, but whatever. Everybody did it, right? We all sold them too cheap. So.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the things that come in, Todd, that kind of still get you excited. Are you still, I mean, you know, because sometimes people think, oh, I love whatever, whatever. And then they get in, then it becomes a job. Then it becomes a bit, and you kind of lose that spark that brought you into it to begin with. I haven't, no,
because every day something new comes in, and I still get excited about every collection, honestly, you know, because you never know what's in there. And somebody that thinks, oh, I have Beatles records or Elvis records, that's fine, but sometimes they have better stuff. You know, if they have like a Miles Davis record that's a Blue Note or, you know, some of this jazz stuff that's
jazz
even more
rare. Jazz has
gotten
big, hasn't it?
It's big. You know, even younger, you know, 12, 13-year-old kids are buying jazz records.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
It is awesome, because when I was aware of jazz records when I was that age, but there was too much rock to buy back then.
Right, yeah.
You know, I had to buy AC/DC and rock, you know, all right. the rock and roll stuff that was coming out. So I was like, jazz was, you know.
Right, right.
I don't know. I had $20 to buy records, like, right. you know, and I could buy, you know, 2 or 3 records, and I wasn't going
to
buy it.
You know what's funny? I used to, you know how you kind of have a certain thing in your mind, how expensive something is because you base it on something else. I always based something on the fact that an album was $4. That's what the albums were yeah. $4 when I used yeah. to buy them.
So everything you looked at was based on a $4 album. So yes. this was $8. It was, oh my God, that's 2 albums.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's yeah. exactly right.
Okay. I remember not buying like Kiss Double Platinum because it was probably $8 because it was a double record and I only had $5.
Exactly.
You know?
Okay.
So yeah. I'm like, oh man, I got to wait. Or I was trying yep. to beg my mom into...
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. can yep. I get extra money and just wait?
It was that and packs of baseball cards because pop bottles were 2 cents a piece. And if I brought back 5 pop bottles,
right.
I could buy 2 right. packs of cards. Yeah.
That's interesting. I got to think back to what.
It almost sounds like Little House on the Prairie days. Oh,
yeah. Right.
Bringing yeah. back pop bottles for Come 2 cents.
Yeah.
you
know? I just remember like dug through cans being excited on the weekends to go to town. Right,
yeah,
and you had saved your money for a couple weeks yeah. to go, and then you just you'd start.
And
looking.
If you had that money to buy an album or something like that,
even a 45 for me,
anything.
Yeah,
but it
yeah.
was like, man, you were so careful. I got to make sure of this purchase.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It was because that was it. Once
that
you
was
bought
it, man.
You were
been watching.
Yeah,
you know.
But you know another.
What's your time? Because he's gonna get. Is he gonna play this? We got 5 minutes. Or we got more.
Oh, when we come back, he's gonna do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. I was looking.
No, he's
getting,
no. He's starting off the segment.
Okay.
When we come
worried.
Back.
All right,
hey, Spencer, how we doing back there, buddy? Grab the mic. Let us know. This is Spencer Nolan Young. He is live painting a couple of amazing things in obviously Packers history and the NFL draft.
Wow. We're definitely making progress right now.
So making progress. And now he's painting with a football cleat. He is painting this with a football cleat, ladies and gentlemen. Not a brush. No lie. A
little bit of everything, so.
And Curly Lambeau is coming to life as
Boy,
we.
Boy, is he.
Oh.
Yeah, you can watch the whole thing on our stream, too.
right.
So make sure and watch it on.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
It is amazing. With a football and cleats.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he's using to paint with.
Okay. Yeah.
Football cleat and a football.
Unbelievable.
Yep, switching right. back and forth.
All right.
Cool.
Todd? Some people, huh? Yeah. Hey, wouldn't he be a great guy to design album covers?
Oh, my God, yeah.
There you go.
There's a...
That'd be
like
fun.
Like independent artists that will do hand-painted album covers and stuff.
Do you have them?
There's people out there, artists out there, that will do like 100 different album covers for a special release or something.
Oh, that's you know? Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Okay, we always ask this. First album you ever personally bought yourself?
I think it was Kiss Alive.
Okay.
I think I probably bought more than
78, 79?
One. Yeah.
Or even earlier,
like
10 maybe.
10 years old.
Okay.
And that album's probably out a little bit. But Kiss Alive was my first
mine was Sergeant Barry Sanders, the Greenberry.
Ballad of the Greenberry.
Ballad of the Greenberry. How about yours?
Liberace.
No.
No?
I know what it was. The Schmidt Brothers.
That was given yep. to me.
I found a Schmidt Brothers 8-track that I have at the store. I hung it up on the wall. There.
Are you
yeah.
serious?
Oh, yeah.
They had those. Yeah.
Is there a team picture?
No, it's
or group
the whole picture.
Yeah.
I'll have to bring it next time.
Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, that's not a bad one at all.
That was huge. That was a huge band in that.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Everybody had that one.
Mine was Waylon Jennings.
Nice. Really? Oh,
yeah, Wanted. The Wanted.
Yeah, yeah. with the yeah. Wanted poster yep. and the whole thing.
Okay.
The Outlaw. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's good stuff,
closer
man.
Closer to home. You know, closer to home. Yeah, that's, yeah. Okay, that's what I had.
You know, the 8-track that everybody had was Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
when 8-tracks became big.
Yep.
Yeah, that's still the most sold live record, I think.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Frampton Live?
Yeah. No.
People, everybody has that record.
You know? Yeah, that was huge. Yeah, mine were Sergeant Barry Sadler, Neil Diamond's Greatest Hits, and I can't think of it, but those were like, that was my little era
awesome.
Back then. Yeah, fun stuff, man. Hey, we're Todd Magnuson, Rock and Roll Land National Record Store Day, and he owns a phenomenal record store on Military. We'll talk more about that. Spencer is making Packer icons come to life. We got the Nettie Hill Band coming up for the Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series. They're going to be live in person right here in the studio.
Another one I had, Poco.
Yeah. Oh, Poco. I remember Poco.
That was a big two, right? Yeah. That was around at the same time.
Yeah. No question. All right. Back after this.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.